Broadcasts of chamber music from the Spoleto Festival USA are made possible by Bank of America, seeking cultural enrichment for the nation, and the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. Additional support comes from the Friends of WDAV.
Welcome to Charleston, South Carolina, the home of the Spoleto Festival USA. The Toronto Star calls Spoleto the continent's number one festival. There simply is nowhere else on the continent where a visitor can cram so much music, theater, and dance into so few days. And nowhere else at Spoleto packs a bigger musical punch than the chamber music concerts at the Dock Street Theater. 34 performances in all, happening every day, twice a day, for the duration of the festival. It's music of spirit, heart, passion, intensity, and occasional good humor. I'm Lisa Simeone, welcoming you to a new season of broadcasts from the Spoleto Festival USA. It's the first concert in the chamber music series from Spoleto Festival USA. You're also about to hear the first chamber music concert after the completion of a three-year, $18 million renovation of the Dock Street Theater in the heart of Old Charleston. The first Dock Street Theater was built in 1735 and burned years ago, but it rose up again like a phoenix from the ashes as a neocolonial Georgian revival building in 1937 on what's thought to be the original location of the theater. Fast forward to 2010, where the formerly decrepit Dock Street has just been completely made over in the front and back of the house, just in time for Jeff Nuttall's inaugural year as director of the Chamber Music Series at Spoleto Festival USA. So there's even more electricity in the air than usual for this very first concert of the 2010 Spoleto season. Let's take you now to Dock Street as violinist Jeff Nuttall steps on stage for his debut as director with four other Spoleto musicians. Violinist Scott St. John, violinist Daniel Phillips, cellist Chris Costanza, and harpsichordist Pedja Muzijevic.
I've been practicing. Welcome to Dock Street Theater. I figure if I was going to take over for the legend that is Charles Wadsworth, it couldn't be a better time than coming back to this remarkable space, one of the jewels in the world for playing chamber music. And it's a real blessing to be back here, and I'm sure you all agree this is one of the great spaces on the planet for listening and doing what we do. So, okay, so I wanted to start with something so outrageous, so groundbreaking, so shocking to the foundations of the theater that I didn't want it to be announced on the board outside. So are the doors locked, everyone? Yes? I also was worried if I announced it, half of you all would leave before the show started. So are you ready? The first music that you will hear, 2010, Spoleto Chamber Music USA, is Pachelbel's Canon. And you can't leave because the doors are locked. Now, why, you may ask? It's great to hear the office saying, well, the press have asked, what the heck is this Pachelbel Canon on the program? What do you think you're doing? There's a reason, and it's a really cool reason, actually. The history is such a part of Charleston and a part of this theater, and amazing to think about this. The first and most important musician in early Charleston was Johann Pachelbel's son, Carl Theodor Pachelbel. It gets better. Charles Theodor came here in the 1730s. He was married in St. Philip's Church in 1737. And that same year, he put on, which is widely considered the first real organized concert of music in Charleston, on November 22nd, 1737. Now, he took over as music director at St. Philip's in 1739 and was an instrumental figure in the early musical life in Charleston. So I thought, what better way to tie it in than to do some Pachelbel in this theater? Who knows? We're not sure where that actual event was in 1737, but dreamily, maybe it was in the old Dock Street Theater. You'll never know. Now, the only part of this story that doesn't really work is that Carl Theodor was not a very good composer. So Yeah, so I thought we'd go back, and I love the Pachelbel Canon. But you're going to hear it now in its original version. It's actually two movements. There's the canon part, which you all can sing along to, I'm sure. It was played at my wedding 10 years ago. But there's an attached jig, a little dance at the end. It's part of the original piece, which a lot of you probably have not heard. And the piece takes on a slightly different life when you hear the original version. So, you guys ready? Oh, the band. I forgot to introduce the band. Peja Mitsijevic at the harpsichord. The amazing Daniel Phillips on violin. And the boys from the St. Lawrence Quartet, Scott St. John, violin. And Christopher Costanza, laying down that tough bass line.
Thank you.
A surprising first piece at Spoleto, The Canon and Gigue in D by Paco Bell, a piece with a Charleston connection. You heard violinist Scott St. John, violinist Daniel Phillips, cellist Chris Costanza, harpsichordist Pedja Muzijevich, and the new director of the Chamber Music Series, violinist Jeff Nuttall. You're listening to the season-opening chamber music concert from the 2010 Spoleto Festival USA. I'm Lisa Simeone. Now let's head back inside the Dock Street Theater. Here's Jeff Nuttall.
Now, Happy Schumann, 1842, and he had just gone through this battle to marry Clara. I mean, Clara's dad didn't want anything to do with Robert. It was years of struggle to convince her dad to let him marry his daughter, Clara. And finally acquiesced. They got married. It was great. Everything was going really well. And Schumann was in his early 30s in 1842, had not written a single piece of chamber music. And in that year alone, he wrote almost his entire output. Three string quartets, the piano quintet you're about to hear, the piano quartet, the first piano trio. Incredible burst of imaginative activity. He wrote and finished this work in less than 2 weeks. And one of the things when you read about Schumann that you discover that really kept him going was his relationship with his wife, Clara. Both musically and personally. I think it's safe to say that we would have very little of the music that we do from Schumann if it wasn't for Clara being the rock that she was. And this piece was dedicated to her, and she was the one who gave the premiere of the work in 1842. But what you'll hear in this work, the passion that is Schumann, the ultimate romantic, and you hear his using the Clara motive, and this appears, it's such a basic concept, but this little falling fifth motive, Clara. He uses that to great effect in a lot of his music, and it's just heart on the sleeve, I love you, Clara. The first movement, for example, you'll hear this really ebullient, brilliant opening material, and then the second theme is a love duet between the viola and the cello, with that falling fifth being at the center of the music. Just a joyous outpouring of love for Clara. The second movement begins with a funeral march, very dark and brooding. And the second section is this dream, this hallucinogenic dream section in major where he goes back to his youth. It's an amazing moment. And then we're shaken from that back to the funeral march. There's a middle section where you'll hear agitato, cascading piano writing, really virtuoso writing for the piano. And in the middle of this storm, the second violin's trembling like mad, you'll hear that same funeral march played fortissimo by the viola. Sort of bursting from the texture in an angry outburst. It's a great juxtaposition. Same music, completely different meaning. The third movement is another virtuoso display for the piano, and it's a scherzo. In this case, there are two different trios. So you have the scherzo material, the first trio where you hear a lovely duet with simply falling fifths back and forth. How I Love You, Clara, between the violin and the viola. And the second trio is a wild, flourishing gypsy movement. And it all ends with a coda back to the original scherzo material. And the final movement is a great, there's a little fugue in the middle, and then he lets out all the stops. At the very end, you'll hear a giant double fugue, and the first movement theme will come back with the fugue theme from the end of the second movement, and it's just all comes together with this crazy orchestral ending. So, I think, are you guys ready? Let's welcome them back. So, you have before you the St. Lawrence String Quartet, joined by the multi-talented Pedja Muzijevich, who's transformed from a harpsichord virtuoso to a pianist. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
What Jeff Nuttall called Happy Schumann, the piano quintet in E-flat, in a performance by Jeff Nuttall and his fellow members of the St. Lawrence String Quartet, Scott St. John violin, Leslie Robertson viola, and Christopher Costanza cello. The pianist was Pedja Muzijevic. I'm Lisa Simeone. You're listening to the season-opening chamber music concert from the 2010 Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston, South Carolina. Find us on the web at spoletochambermusic.org. Once again, here's Spoleto Chamber Music's new artistic director, Jeff Nuttall.
Now, these are a set of Hungarian dances that Johannes Brahms wrote. He wrote actually 21 of them, and they were originally written for four hands at the piano. And it's safe to say, during his lifetime, they were by far his most well-known works, but they are also his most lucrative. He made a lot of money selling this. And if you imagine, it was the entertainment of the day. Instead of going out and getting a new DVD or a record, you would go out and get the new Brahms Hungarian Dance for four-hand piano and go home and play it with your friends and family. It was what you did. Incredible, basically, pop crossover by Brahms. There are only three or four original tunes in the whole bunch of 21. Most were stolen. Nothing wrong with that. Stealing is fine. Most composers do it. But folk tunes or otherwise, Brahms, if he liked the tune, he used it. But it was an incredibly inventive, imaginative crossover in 1869. So I'm going to welcome out Pedja Muzijevic and Enon Barnaton. They're going to play, let me just get my cheat sheets here. They're going to play dances 6, 4, 3, and they'll end with 5. Again, I encourage dancing and singing along. Thank you.
Jeff Nuttall calls them pop classical classics. Four of the Hungarian dances by Johannes Brahms in a version for one piano performed by four hands. Hands that belonged in that performance to pianists Inan Barnatan and Pedja Muzijevic, concluding the opening concert of the 2010 Chamber Music Series at the newly restored Dock Street Theater from the Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston, South Carolina. Our program is produced by Grant Jackson, and the Spoleto Chamber Music recording engineer is Skip Beach, with help from Evan Hill. Post-production help from Jennifer Foster and Frank Dominguez. The executive producers are Sherry Hutchinson for South Carolina ETV Radio and Benjamin K. Rowe for WDAV. Remember, you can listen again to that piece or any of the other works on these Spoleto Chamber Music broadcasts via our website. Visit us at spoletochambermusic.org to replay this performance, read the program notes and biographies, and see photos and even videos from the Spoleto Festival USA. That's spoletochambermusic.org. I'm Lisa Simeone. Thanks for joining us for this broadcast from the Spoleto Festival USA in Charleston, South Carolina.
Broadcasts of chamber music from the Spoleto Festival USA are made possible by Bank of America, seeking cultural enrichment for the nation, and the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. Additional support comes from the Friends of WDAV.